Okay, this is Jason. I'm doing a cold open. I'm real snacky. It's carbohydrates. They're crunchy. They're salty. They're not good for me. But man, it feels good. Doesn't it feel good, gang, to do a nice, crunchy, salty snack? Or do you like the gooey, sweet ones? I don't know. Maybe a combo of both is great, right? But which do you start with? Which do you end with? What do you put in between? I know what you put in between. You put in a nice, big, fat, well-cooked episode of Smartless. Nom, 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 nom. Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
The stress, you know, guys, I can't have the stress. I lost my voice and it's just now come back a little bit. I still have a little brand of
Are you cardio. Screaming at people on
the
set?
Game? Is it from the Knicks games or is it just, yeah, screaming
no,
at people on
it was,
set again?
I think it was
want my chair over here.
I think it was a cold or it might've been allergies.
No.
I mean, yeah, it started.
By yourself?
It started, in my throat and it went to my nose and then it landed on my vocal cords.
You're a little frazzled. Jason's a little fragile. I feel like this is the first time we're meeting the real JB right now.
And I was a little frazzled getting to mic today because that's what we call it, right? Getting to mic.
Getting to mic.
Because
we do now. Yeah.
I wanted to have my teeth brushed for you. Yeah. Do you guys brush your teeth for me?
Of course, always.
No, not me.
You don't.
Don't you brush my teeth? Oh, look at his teeth.
Did you sleep with a whitener on too long last night?
No, I went to the
look at that.
I went to the dentist yesterday and he's like, I don't white my teeth. How about that?
Yeah. And you smoke.
Shh.
And you drink coffee.
I know.
And you drink coffee.
And you self tan.
I don't self tan. That's the one where don't make me mad. you and Kimmel, nobody loves hitting me my tan more than Molly.
But where
Wait, what's self tan mean? You just lays out.
That's like a cream.
Okay.
But where do you find the time, and how is it always so even, Mr. Trump?
Well, you know what I do every day. I do my walk every day. And so that's like an hour.
I don't talk to me like I'm fucking watching you doing your fucking heavy hands and shit. Yeah.
You know what my routine
your Velcro ankle weights.
You know my routine.
Is that but
with my
but,
weight well, vest? Somebody took a picture of me with my weight vest yesterday on Loma Vi.
Oh really? I gotta see that.
But Will, I spend a lot of time when I'm not working on the golf course, as we're aware.
What?
Yeah. That's 5 hours of sun exposure, and I wear 100. So you're saying you're 20 minute?
I don't wear.
Okay, that's what it is.
A and B. I don't wear a bucket hat.
Right. So you wear no sun protection whatsoever. You're kind of bragging about that right now to get yourself that nice color, but
I'm
you're
not
giving yourself fucking cancer.
I'm not, first of all, fucking cool it. It's early for me to die, okay?
I've had skin cancer already. I had something shaved off my eye. Remember that? I had to go in there and got it all scraped off.
I get checked. I have a friend of mine, and she's been giving me a lot of shit about sunscreen lately.
Are these checks that you pay for, or is it,
no.
You say a friend?
Like a close friend of mine.
And then does she check for ticks at the same time and all those tough to find spots?
Whoops, found another one. She just squeezes it out like a zit.
You're covered in ticks.
Well, I found a couple of leeches too.
I'm like, so?
I think I have to remove the poison.
The ticks hit the tick.
Oh my gosh.
So you've got it. Yeah, now you're getting into a sweat because you're thinking about all the possible risks you're taking.
I've also had four coffees today, so I'm having a coffee sweat.
Yeah.
You know, we were at dinner the other night, JB. You were missed.
I know.
Tremendous. You were missed. And Jen brought a photo up from our big family trip from a few years back where we went with all the kids and everything.
God, I love that.
And there's a photo of all of us. And then my head sticking out in the back. Remember how tan I was? And my hair is sticking up. And then I've got zinc on my lips. And I look like a crazy person, right, Sean?
I look we passed around the photo, and everybody had something to say about it.
And I've never seen it. No, I'd never seen it before. I was like, "What is? I look like an insane person."
Yeah, you look like you look like a
like
predator.
You guys came to the island and found me there. Yeah, like I'd laid out. You know, I'd written in the sand SOS.
And we have to go back there.
I know.
Have to go back, guys.
It'd be fun to go now with the kids a little bit older. It'd be fun.
Hey, how's it? It's fun being back for the weekend.
It's
yeah,
very nice to be back for the weekend. Yes,
I'm going to your Q&A, Jay, tomorrow at Netflix because I want to. I know that you're doing a Q&A session.
Right, eh? What the hell are you doing there?
Well, I'm just going to go because I want to ask you questions about directing and stuff. I know you're giving like a thing.
Good.
And so I got an email from Netflix about it. Like, come join us. So I'm like,
wear the zinc on your nose so that when you hold your hand up.
I'm going to put a fake mustache and a hat, and then I'm going to sit in the back. And I'm like, I've got a question.
No, you should play the crazy Italian guy from our podcast.
Yeah.
I love a black rabbit. What is your, these brothers are crazy. You're unhinged.
I can't believe they sent you an invite.
No, actually, a different friend of mine got an email about it, and they sent it to me, and I was like, oh, fucking send me that. I want to go. I want to go show up and crash. How good? And then, you know what? I did have the thought. I was like, if I did it, then I make it about me, and I'm not going to go and do that.
No, why do that?
Please, please, please do.
I do it enough. There's so many people listening right now who are nodding, going, like, I know, you do make it about you. Shut up. We hate your stupid stories.
But what about so I'm here this weekend to do these interviews and stuff for DTF and for Black Rabbit and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all talking. It's including this podcast. And I was looking at like literally 36 hours ago, everything was like this. I couldn't.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh my God, I've got like 5 days of work ahead of me that's just talking. Luckily, I got a little prednisone in me and an antibiotic.
Yeah, good, good.
You know what? I was talking to our buddy who's doing Dog Day Afternoon, not John Bernthal, but I was talking to, you guys know John Ortiz is the best. He's a great actor and he's a good buddy of mine. He is on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
And he has a really bad cold and it's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. I almost called you, Sean, because I knew you'd probably have some like fancy Broadway doctor that knows how to deal with vocal, vocal stuff.
Always. I have two of the best.
Boots,
I'll text
Boots
you.
Knows.
Wait, Sean, are you getting rid of paddles and going with Boots?
Right now he's Boots. Right now he's Boots.
Oh, Boots McGee. Yeah.
Boots, yeah, because I have a boot on.
Sean's got a point that he wants to make. I saw him. Who are you looking at off camera who's giving you the cue to go into it? Is it Scott?
No, nobody. Me. It's me.
Okay.
I'm looking at all of you. No, we have to go because our guest is super famous and has to work.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
So,
I should have got dressed up. I meanwhile got undressed.
Put your sleeves back on.
I'm going to put a nice pashmina on.
Oh, guys, my guest today, who I love and I live for, grew up in Castle Hill, New York, the middle of three sisters in an apartment.
Andrew Martin.
So small, they all shared a bed. There was always music in the house with constant reenactments of West Side Story. I could do the whole thing with her.
Chenoweth.
But her parents still hoped she'd become a lawyer. Instead, she left college to pursue dance full-time, left home, and ended up sleeping in a Manhattan dance studio. Somewhere along the way, she taught Kerry Washington how to dance. I can't wait to ask about that. Then she became the first Latina actress ever paid $1 million for a movie role.
Rita Moreno.
She's briefly been on this podcast before. It's the beautiful, multi-talented, and unstoppable
Jennifer Lopez.
Lopez.
Yes!
No way. Willie got it. Very nice.
It took you a few.
No, when you said briefly, and then I remember you briefly on, yes.
Yeah.
I was so close with Andrea Martin. God damn it.
So close.
Oh my God, Jen, what are you drinking?
Hi there.
A little cappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Now,
what
do you go with for the milk on that? Are we almond? Are we oat?
I'm
are we
traditional.
Dairy?
I like a 2% milk. I know everybody's with fancy oats and almonds and soy. No.
Cow milk all the way.
Jason,
all day.
Jason responds to that, you beta.
Well, I know, but I feel, I got word from one of those doctors back in the day that I'm lactose intolerant or I'm bad with the dairy or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I've never had like cow milk since then. Plus, I did see a documentary once where they said the very disgusting fact, which is humans are the only species that drink the milk of another animal.
Right.
I don't
that,
care.
That like... So, I don't get that. It is weird, isn't it?
It is weird.
I'm the same way. I don't care.
I know. You drink full, tall glasses of milk, Sean.
I don't care.
I know. You can't think
and
about it.
And it tastes so good. It tastes so good.
Plus, Jennifer Lopez is always working out and exercising and staying in good health, so she can have milk in her coffee.
I try.
Right?
It's not about that. It's not a bad health choice. Sean.
But I mean, you know, you have to, if you're going to do it, you kind of have to balance it.
Says
Jennifer Lopez.
Says Dr. Ding Dong.
You look
over
very
there.
Healthy. You look very, very healthy.
Ding Dong.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jen, thank you for doing this. I'm so excited you're here. This is a long time coming for me. You've been on my list since we started.
Oh, you're sweet.
Wow, this is exciting.
It's true. And I know we kind of know each other, and I love you too.
Yes, we
do.
Do
you?
We dance together.
Yeah, we worked together many times over the years.
Will and Grace.
On the Will and Grace and something else too. I can't remember what
it was. Did we?
I think so.
You know what I realized? I'm so bad that, you know, you get to a point where you've done so much with so many people. And people are like, we did that. Like the other day, don't hate me, I was watching Monster in Law.
Oh, my God.
And I forgot you were in it.
You
and I was
forgot?
Like, what?
Yeah.
What? I'm going to do that podcast.
That's what happens with them.
Yeah. No, because it was just so long ago. I don't want to say how many years ago it was, but it was so long ago.
Wasn't that during Arrested Development, Willie? You did that?
That was 21 years ago. It was the summer of 2005.
21 years ago.
Wow. You know, Jennifer, as I'm admiring your beautiful printer in the background there, I then noticed that, Sean, you've moved the award. Didn't you have an award
behind
you last week?
Yes, because you made fun of me.
And I made fun of you, moved it.
Yeah, I did. But it's just right there, both of them.
But what about how Jen keeps it real. She's got a fucking printer in the
that's
in
a biz
her frame.
Hub. That's a okay? biz hub.
I'm in a hotel.
You are? Where?
Yes.
In New York?
In New York. I was here for the upfront, so I'm just here.
Oh. No, but you know, people like stack their awards behind them when they do Zooms?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. No, you don't.
In my office at home, I have like a wall of all these awards.
All
and things.
Behind you
right.
for the Zoom.
Yeah,
all right.
they're just there, and then you sit at your desk, and they're there.
You've got so many, you can't point.
Where
the
are you
camera
gonna put them?
Exactly,
Jason.
Right. Exactly.
Where are you gonna put them in your
in the
office?
Basement?
There or yeah. By
Will's
the way, they're in the basement
Will's,
now.
Will's looking behind moved. Him. He can't fit him in the whisper booth.
I can't. There's not one. There's not one.
Why is it so dark in there?
I know.
Will.
So that his tan
this
pops.
This is my booth. But hang on a second.
He's getting a nice bounce off his teeth, though.
The shorts.
Oh, I know.
God, the shorts.
Like, at what age do you stop wearing shorts?
First of all, look at these.
Oh, that's a hockey glove.
These are special Toronto Maple Leafs, limited Toronto Maple Leaf hockey
gloves. When have the Toronto Maple Leafs ever had a green hockey glove?
It used to be the Toronto St. Pat's when they first started.
Why
and then look at this, Jason. Do you remember this? I've somehow kept this after all these years.
What is it? Is that the Wanamaker from the PGA Championship tour?
It's called the VH1.
Oh boy.
Big in 04.
Oh,
and we got
God,
it. We went
right.
for arrested, and somehow I've kept this stupid huge trophy.
Wait, so we got one trophy and you got to keep it?
Yeah, obviously everybody elected me because they were like, who's the most deserving?
Is VH1 still going?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Right, hey, Jennifer, welcome to the
question.
Show.
Yeah, question for the guest, please, Sean.
No, not at all.
Got to break in.
It's just chit chat.
Well,
it's
the thing about like, we worked together three times at Will and Grace. And the first time, God, did we laugh a lot. I mean, I was kicking you in, literally, physically kicking you in the ass.
Yeah.
Jumping in between your legs and like dancing like fools. It was ridiculously hilarious. And you were so game. And I think you're so game for so many things. And, you know, in researching.
Yeah, too many things sometimes.
No. But you know, in doing all this research before today, you realize, I've never done a deep dive on you. We always have chit chat and have a good time, you know. Yeah. And
you never asked her anything important. You were just worried about yourself.
No, that's right. I was always like, when's the next question about me? But but so before we get into it, I just want to say, I realized doing all this stuff, how rare your kind of drive is, your work ethic, the ambition, the discipline you've been doing at such a high level for decades.
I mean, have you seen her documentary? That documentary
yes, it's incredible.
Is just like, I think I had a chance to run into you after I saw it and said how much I love it. It's impressive. I mean, not only just well made, but the scope of it. I mean, your career is incredibly stacked.
It's incredible.
I mean, nonstop.
And you. This is another thing we'll talk about later, but the thing you do for women in general, whether you do it intentionally or not, I'm sure some of it is intentional, you make them feel empowered, you show them that talent and beauty and sexuality, you can have all that at any age, and you're fearless about all that. How aware of Are you aware of how much permission that gives people, or are you too busy working to even think about it?
I'll say this. When I was starting out, and I had just started doing like my clothing line, so I had been acting for a while and dancing and singing for a while, had my first records out and things like that. So this is, fuck, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was working with a few girls in my office who are like friends who I just hired, you know? Yeah. And I remember saying, like, it was getting overwhelming. And I said, this is so fucking much. Why am I doing this? This is too much. And she goes, Jennifer, if you can't, and I probably had just went through some breakup and fucking everything had blown up in my face again. You know what I mean? And I was just like, I just don't know if I can go on. She goes, Jennifer, if you can't do it, none of us can do it. Mm-hmm. And when she said that to me, I never forgot it. And I thought to myself, oh, people look at me a certain way, especially girls, like women. Like
inspiration, for sure.
They're like, and it gave me like a feeling of responsibility to do things right all the time.
Mm-hmm. A responsibility you like or didn't want?
I don't mind it because I am a hard worker and I do have discipline. Like I started running track when I was, you know, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, and I was practicing every day. Like I always had kind of like an athlete's kind of drive and work ethic.
That makes sense.
And so I did track for a while, gymnastics. I played softball. Like I was very much an athlete before I fell in love with dancing. And once I fell in love with dancing, sports went out the window.
Right, because it is a sport.
It is a sport, and it was just an easy transition. But also because I grew up on musicals with my mom and all of that, and I loved them so much. It was like I always wanted to sing and dance and act. But when it took its natural time, I really like left everything behind and just fell in love with that. But that really made me feel that exchange stayed with me even all these years later, because it just made me feel like don't fuck it up. Like, do the right things. People are watching you for whatever reason. Maybe because I was, you know, Puerto Rican and from the Bronx and came from similar places where all these people, you know, people come from. You know, I wasn't like born in Hollywood and, you know, kind of that thing. And so there was a real...
Jason.
real like idea in my mind of like, you have to do things right. Don't fuck it up, you know?
And work for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do it. Like, do the thing. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
What was first for you? Was it an example of someone who was just an incredible inspiration as far as their accomplishments? Was that first? Or was it being inspired by seeing an incredible dancer or musician or actor? Or when you were a little girl, what was the first thing that inspired you? Was it accomplishment or was it a specific talent?
No, it was the arts. Like from when I was very little, I remember you brought up Rita Moreno and you brought up West Side Story right before as you were trying to guess who I was.
He always does. That's all he does. That's all he does is bring up Rita Moreno.
It really was Rita Moreno for me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did want her to be my mom. Watching Electric Company, I said to my mother once when I was a tiny little kid, I said, I want her to be my mom.
Yeah.
Yes, who wouldn't? And she's so amazing. And the thing is like, my mom watched West Side Story in the theater when it first came out, and she made us watch it every single year. I don't even remember the first time I saw it, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. But I do remember watching it on TV one Thanksgiving because it came on once a year. And thinking, that's what I want to do. I want to sing and dance and act. Yeah. I want to dance around. I want to sing. And my mother was kind of that way as well, and very kind of vivacious, take over the room type of person. And I wasn't like that. I was more like my dad. I was more quiet and kind of like to myself. But that part I had, like I wanted to sing and dance and shake my ass too. You know what I mean? Like my mom
was just
doing.
Imagine you dancing and singing around like the living room and stuff like that, like kids do, because like that's when we have no fear and no sense of and like
dance like nobody's watching. You mean
right? But then there's that moment we all hit when we're about, I don't know, 10, 11 or something like that, where you start to become aware of shame and embarrassment and what other people might be thinking. And there's that transition that it's almost a sad transition that you see kids go through where they become self-aware. But yeah. then, you know, you hope that they gather sort of coping skills to kind of have self-assuredness and to kind of push through that and have their confidence take over and to be able to push through that. Do you remember that moment where you stopped kind of dancing like no one was watching and you were aware people were watching and were able to push through that?
I think this is what makes me a little different. Yeah. that I was
that never happened?
No. I was never afraid to make a fool of myself.
That's wow. great.
Like, yeah. I was Same. Always just like, it's fine. I fell down. And maybe right. that was part of the athlete part too. You know right. what I mean? Like, it was just like, you're gonna, you know, make mistakes. You're gonna fall. You're gonna do the, like, I was ready. I'm like, get back. Very yeah. scrappy.
Part of learning, know? Part of success.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
I was thinking about when you started and really started to sort of break through, and I kind of want to get into what that was because I'm not sure I really know what yeah. that thing was.
I have questions about it.
Thank you, Sean. This is not your time. I'd like to reclaim my time. Jennifer, I wonder if you know, like, the moment when you broke through, and you broke through on such a global level in such a way that is very, Huge. Very rare, where everybody in the world knows who you are, and just bear with me, that you that you have the moment where you where that kind of dawns on you, the level of recognition and fame, and then you as a person, the gap of you catching up to that and being okay with that on that kind of a level. Do you remember that time? Was it a
yeah,
struggle kind of between you and it?
It was the worst. It was the worst. It was, I had just done Selena.
Yeah.
And the movie came out and I was still walking around, you know, Hollywood, like going on auditions. To like it was still that time.
Yeah.
But it had just come out and I was walking down the street and for the first time, somebody was like, hey, and they come running towards me. And I thought, yeah. motherfucker's going to mug me. What, right. what the fuck yeah. is going on right now? Like, I got really nervous, you know what right. I mean? And I was just, you know, like any woman in the world, you know, we're threatened by other, so sure. many things. Like, we're so scared all the time in a weird way.
Yeah.
And I was just walking to the store from my apartment in LA and it was just so jarring to me. And then I realized they were like, I saw you in whatever. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't, but my thing was like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know you. Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, back right. up. Don't touch me. Right. I was so scared. And I remember it dawning on me. I was like, oh, you're not anonymous anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Your anonymity is gone.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think in my mind, I thought, you can't get that back. That's something that's lost forever. And I remember that's when I started having panic attacks. And
oh, did you?
Oh, it was a terrible yeah. time for me.
Yeah. Can you talk about that when you were filming Enough, right?
No, that was another time. That was when I overworked myself
that,
so bad.
That story, that's
when
attack.
I didn't realize
Sean.
My limits.
Yeah, but that I read about that in preparation for this, and that's fascinating to me because I love medical stories. Where you, yeah. well, do you can you say what happened and why?
Yeah. So that was the kind of getting used to like fame and realizing your life had changed
yeah.
in a way that you couldn't control anymore
or go back.
You can't go back.
Yeah.
They're always going to know. Somebody will always have seen Selena and somebody will always. And, mm-hmm. and for whatever reason, that really freaked me out. And that took a minute. But right. what you're talking about is when I was doing Enough. I think I had done like 4 movies in a row. And I had recorded my second album or something like that. So the J-Lo album, which was really big.
Yeah,
and,
huge.
And what was like the J-Lo album.
Right.
And I was working, filming every day, as you guys know what that is, you know, all the hours. And then I would go into the studio at night. Mm. And then on the weekends, I like had junkets or Ugh. Video shoots or wow. whatever. And I remember not clocking that I had worked like 98 days in a row without taking a day off.
Right.
you know, right. Because we yeah. went back and counted it because we were like, what happened? And one day I'm sitting in the on the set of Enough. It's actually kind of thinking about it. And I'm walking to the set every single time. And every time I walk to the set, I start getting a little, like a little pitter-patter in my heart. Like it's like rising. And I go, and finally, it got to the point where I was like, I really feel nervous. And I had the little girl in enough. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm sorry, sweetie. I feel a little weird today. I said, a little tired or something. And she was like, it's okay. You're going to be all right. You know, she's like going like this to my face. But I wasn't all right. And I went back to the trailer and I sat down. And all of a sudden, like, I just couldn't see. Like, it was almost like I couldn't see clearly. Like, something just went over my eyes and I couldn't move. And one of my girlfriends, who was my friend since the second grade, was my assistant. And she was like, so she has no, like, she doesn't know what, she didn't really know what she was doing too much. But we loved thugging it out together and figuring it out and being together. And I said to her, Arlene, I can't move. I can't see. She goes, stop it, Jennifer. You're scaring me. And I go, no, I really can't move.
Yeah.
I said, no, I can't move. You should get somebody. And she's like, stop, stop. I said, get B.O.B., my security guard. And she got me. And I was like, I can't move. And I can't see. And I couldn't move. I was just paralyzed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked me up and put me in the car. We went to the hospital.
Wow.
And it was crazy. And I said to the doctor, I said, am I going crazy? And he said, no. You're not crazy.
It's exhaustion.
Yeah, he's like, you shut down.
I remember, speaking of Monster in Law, I remember we were shooting a couple of days, like, downtown somewhere, and the level of attention, I remember you having to drive to set, and they had to put blinders on the thing for you to drive into, and there were photographers on the roofs of the building across the street.
Yeah.
And I remember, they had the base camp set up in this parking lot downtown. And I remember these dudes randomly putting cameras under the fence and just shooting like this, hoping to get somebody. And I thought, oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so, and by the way, there are a lot of people who go like, oh, well that, you know, that's the price you pay for fame and all that kind of bullshit. And you're like, oh yeah, that's pretty rough, man. Like you don't have a second.
It can be really tricky. And you learn to kind of like live a certain way. Like I don't go out all that much, you know, and I know where I can go. Yeah, to this day.
Yeah.
And I have my like very small group of friends and they come over or we do things or we go on trips. But even when we go on trips, it's very curated and you have to learn because it's just, it's part of it.
Jason calls photographers. He lets them know they have his schedule.
Yeah.
And they have access to his iCal.
They never show. And they never show. What about now that sort of surgical masks are so sort of like accepted in public and so commonplace now, do you ever enjoy that? A level of, you know, sort of finding anonymity
again? No, I feel
like
people always know it's me and I feel stupid. Like if I put on a hat, like two other, it's like, is that J-Lo?
I bet you could get away with it.
It's like stupid. I put a mask on. They'll even recognize my voice sometimes if I'm talking in a store. Wow. Like I'll see people creep around the aisle like they heard me talking or something. I'm like, hi.
Did your friends call you J-Lo when you were a kid growing up? No.
No, not at all. Not at all. That was something that I always credit Heavy D. I don't know if you guys remember.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
He was a rapper back in the day.
All
the Sony artists, there was a place called the Hit Factory here in New York.
Yep.
And all of us recorded there. A lot of people recorded there. It was a big studio. And people would always come in and out, you know, to other people's studios. And I met Heavy at that time. And he just always used to call me Jenny Lowe. He's like, J-Lo, J-Lo, Jenny Lowe. Da, da, da. And I was like, I think I'm going to call my next album J-Lo.
I love that.
I think
that's
it's
so
just,
cool.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it happened. It was really very simple. It just stuck.
When did Jenny from the Block come?
Well, I was going to get to Jenny from the Block,
It was the next album. So that J-Lo was my second album. The first album was On the Six. And my third album was This Is Me Then. And that had Jenny from the Block on it.
Do you know, you spawned how many people in the world probably refer to their friends, Jennifer, as Jenny from the Block? Like, we have a friend.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah, you do come
you
across
a
it.
Whole...
But also, they all do their names. Oh, my people call me Ado. Or,
right.
Like, they put their name together and stuff like that. Yeah.
Jason would be J-Ba.
Yeah, you'd be J-B.
Yeah, and you're C-Ha.
Say ha.
It doesn't work.
It's gonna roll off the tongue. getting back to when you were first starting, because I think it's fascinating that you went from the time frame of In Living Color, which was, you know, its own story, which we could probably talk about forever. But In Living Color to Money Train to Selena, you at that time you really had to prove yourself as an actress, and you probably worked hard to do that, right? What did that period feel like when you look back on it, where you're like, wait, how do I get people to take me seriously from dancing on In Living Color to being an actress?
Well, it's funny. My very first movie was a movie called My Family, Mi Familia, which Greg Nava did.
Oh, right.
And it had Edward James Olmos in it. That was the very first time I worked with him. And I played the young matriarch in the movie. And right from that moment, I think people seeing that little piece of tape, that really helped make the transition. Because it was a great little role. And I had to, like, cross the river from Mexico into the thing, and I'm like swimming, and so I'm like, I'm action-y, and I'm crying with the baby, and it was like a great little juicy, it was a small role, but it was juicy. And with that piece of tape, people were like, oh, she can act. She's an actress. And I had worked on it before I did my first movie. I studied it, acting all throughout. And Living Color really brought me out to Los Angeles, and that's when I started like taking classes all the time and reading all the books and doing all the things.
I love that.
You did, and then you did, God, I remember, this movie holds up. I love it so much. You're so great in Out of Sight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you were so, that movie is so good.
Francisco.
Oh, yeah. You're so good in that. It's such a great movie. You know,
really is.
You really dragged Clooney along, you know, because, no, you did.
You launched something
you
did. There.
You made Clooney look good. And I don't care if he hears this. You made him look good.
And that Soderbergh character.
And Soderbergh, too. Yeah. And Steven, too. You really helped those guys.
Yeah, I really helped him out.
No, but talk about that movie, if you will, just a little bit, because that was like a real, that movie like really went like,
huge.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you already were, but...
Yeah, I was excited. Listen, and I got really lucky in the beginning of my career to work with, like, some really great directors. Steven Soderbergh, Oliver Stone, Francis Ford Coppola. Like, I worked with Robin Williams. Like, it was a really beautiful, beautiful beginning to an acting career for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And working on Out of Sight, it was funny. The thing I remember the most about Out of Sight one of the things is Steve's on, because we had of the most epic nights ever singing musical theater. I think I was singing to him and telling him I was going to be a singer, and he was like, "You're right." I was like, I am. I'm working on my album right now. Like, I was so young and kind of like goofy and whatever. And but I also remember like the auditioning process for that. I remember the last, like, I read for Steven, and he was like, I think I like these, talking to George, like, I like this girl, Jennifer Lopez, to play this role. And he was like, okay. And they had me go do like a chemistry read, and I had to drive to George's house. And I remember getting there, and there was a pig in the front yard.
Yeah.
I was like, this is some real Hollywood shit. This is some weird stuff.
And Richard Kind collecting the mail.
Yeah. You know, he had his pig, and we were there. And we, you know, we read like on the couch together, literal casting couch.
Yeah.
And we were just had this chemistry that really worked. And Steven just loved it. And I got the role, and I was so happy because it was a really great role as well. So,
did you get it there in the room?
By the time I got home, they had called my agent and said that, you know, they wanted me.
Oh, that's so good.
That's great.
How do you, with so much ability across, you know, mediums, how, and anything that you basically declare you're going to do, it's going to find financing and it's going to find an audience. How do you decide what to do? If anything is a viable direction, like, I mean, you could start a musical tomorrow, or you could do another album, or you could start a movie. You could act in that movie, direct that movie.
You could open a bank.
You could start a cupcake store down the street that would become
I do have cookie dough that I would think I call J-Dough.
There you go.
Oh, for real?
That is the best chocolate cookies in the world. And one day I'm going to make this. I'm going to share it with the world because right.
But you don't sell. You don't sell it yet.
No.
Well, that's great. A mistake.
This is. We can announce it today.
Leave the money on the table.
This could be J-Do. I want it.
We love chocolate chip cookies.
But truly, so how do you decide where to point your energy and your
you know, it's
your
funny
assets.
You ask that question because I think one of the things about my career and sometimes, you know, there's in any long career, there's ups and downs. You swing for the fences and you fail. And then there's times when it's just like, you know, you just hit it out of the park. And right now, I think I just didn't ever realize that I had that kind of power. Mm-hmm. I always felt, again, like the scrappy one kind of trying to
make
it.
And erring on the
it.
Side of humility and not yes, assuming and, something till you're sure. I think that's a healthy place to be.
And it did serve me in certain ways. But in other ways, I always felt like whatever I got was good enough. Instead of going, wait a minute, is this the right thing to do right now? Or is that the right? It was just kind of like work. Sure. Okay. I'm working. And I think it wasn't just now as my kids are about to leave to college in about a few months.
They're both 18.
Don't make me cry, okay?
Wow.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and they're twins. So they're both leaving at the same time. And it's just going to be me by myself. And I'm looking at like what I really want to do. And for the first time in my life, I've really taken more control of exactly what you're saying. Like, what do you really want to do? Like, do you want to direct? Do you want to do musicals? What have you not done that really feels fulfilling to you? Because I actually have realized that I do have that I have earned that over these years. And I should be very intentional about what I do over these next 4 or 5 years.
You can take agency over your own life.
Also like give myself a pat on the back, which I never do.
You should.
Yeah. Where I go, you know what? You created this. That little girl with like, I always say this, with like holes in her shoes in the Bronx. You know what I mean? I wear my sneakers down where this part of my foot was out all the time. I'm sure that's going to be a meme.
If I asked you right now, what do you really love and value most in your life? I'm sure that you would say your kids. But if I narrowed that to what your career represents for you, in a pursuit of like trying to find an answer for what you would want to do next or your next chapter to be, what is it that you enjoy the most that your career has provided you? Is it respect? Is it
possibility?
Okay.
I think it's that I have opened up an avenue for myself where there's endless possibility and I can really create a new dream right now for myself.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just moved into a new house. Like everything in my life has changed over the past couple of years. I moved into a new house.
What happened?
Oh, that's for another time.
It's a different podcast.
That's a different.
Right, right.
Guys, keep rolling.
You come over, we have a glass of wine, you come to the new house, and it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like built my little corner of the world dream house. I got my kids some horses. We have stables.
Oh, that's great.
Like, I was like, please come home. Please come back home to your horses. There's horses here. And just really thinking about like with all this change, it's actually been a very emotional time for me where, yes, I'm crying because they're leaving, but I'm also like staring down like, what is my life now? Yeah. The past 20 years, it's been one thing. The past 5 years has been a tumult, you know, and then the last 2 years has been kind of the healing process from that tumult where I really got to know myself. And the person I am today is so different than the person I was even 2 years ago. It's crazy. Great. And now I can really look at my life, appreciate it for what it is and what I've created for myself and be really happy. And both my kids, like, got into all their colleges and they both got scholarships and they're going where they want to go. And it's just, I was like, you did that shit all by yourself.
That's great.
Like, you had very little help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
And back to the show.
I was just going to say, I think it's awesome that you, the way that you talk about it, and you seem so sort of clear-headed and calm, knowing we sort of joke about it, about how much people perceive or think that they know about your life and what you've gone through and all that kind of stuff. And that's, you have to kind of put that in a weird place, mm-hmm. because you, right, that people have this sort of thing that they think, and then you, but you have to actually go through it. And like you said, when you started, like, you're just a human being and people forget that. Yeah. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like they,
yeah.
It's so crazy to me because we don't really understand other people's experiences unless we walk in their shoes.
Right, and there's also, I think, I don't mean to cut you off, Willie, but I do think, you know, we're all aware of, and some of us are friends with, some people that have like this enormous level of celebrity and exposure that actually enables the ability for, enables them to stay exactly who that is for kind of as long as they want. In other words, there's this real permissive culture around celebrity, and you don't kind of have to be the best part of you, and you don't have to grow. Like, you know, what you just said,
yeah, right.
Jennifer, that, you know, the past 2 years has been about the healing, and that you're so different now than you were even 2 years ago, 5 years ago. Do you recognize that that's can be a real accomplishment for somebody in your position? Like, I think that's a real great
Thank
attaboy
you.
That you've clearly put in time and work and self-reflection, and you could have just kind of just kept eating the junk food of the permissive culture around you and just kind of lean back. But it sounds like you're leaning into, who am I going to be for this next chapter?
And
what have I learned, et cetera, et cetera.
100%. Again, there's been different times where I felt like, whether people outside knew it or not, where I feel like my life blew up in my own face. And it was because of the choices I made, but also because of the fact that I had things that needed to change mm-hmm. about myself that I didn't understand or recognize, that was attracting certain things and attracting a certain type of, you know, experience into my life. And I really needed, honestly, it's that thing where, and you can go either way, you're right, it is a choice. So I want to give myself that credit too, but there comes a point where it's all so puzzling and wrong, where you have to sit there. And after my last divorce, I just sat there and I was like, I canceled my tour and I sat there and I was just like, you need to fucking figure yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with you? Forget mm-hmm. about everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody to blame here except yourself in a certain way. Not that people don't behave in a way that's not great, but what are you doing? What do you have going on? Mm-hmm. And that was a turning point for me. And that was a couple of years ago now.
I had the same thing about 2-3 years ago. Maybe I've told you guys this in private before, but I had a moment before I got into real therapy a couple of years ago where one day I was making coffee in the morning and I swear to God, and I went, I remember distinctly what was happening.
Oat milk.
Not the date.
Oat milk.
Oat milk.
Big oat milk.
And I remember, I said out loud to myself, it's you. Right? And I had this real, I was like, oh my God, I need to do some work. I go, it's me.
But by the way, everybody needs to do that. At some point in your life.
Yeah, and by the way, everybody goes through this. I mean, it's all sort of relative.
Like, it's part of being human, right?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Part of being human is
we all have things that blow up.
We get these parents, they do the best they can, or they do as much as they can. They form certain parts about ourselves. And then our journey is kind of the undoing and the healing of those things, of the patterns that created.
Right. Yeah.
And so in doing and looking at those patterns, I was able to kind of like go back to that little girl and look at her and
That's
go,
dope.
That little 7-year-old girl, like I said, with the ripped nightgown, like I can see her right now with it, like my hair was like up to here and it was about the same color. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and dirty feet walking around barefoot all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And I was
you're
like,
barefoot now.
just like,
she's bad.
Still nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Still Jenny from the block. And just kind of like going, you did this.
Yeah.
You did all this.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little fucking something, like a little love.
Right.
Stop looking for love in other things.
Yeah.
And give it to yourself.
Like, yeah, there's give so it to much yourself. To love in you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't and you don't see it because you're in this business and everybody's telling you you're bad at this and you're bad at that and they're scrutinizing and criticizing your personal, your professional life and you're not doing this enough or you didn't choose that right movie or that song didn't do as good as last one and you're like and it plays on you and it mm-hmm. plays on those places that were reinforced when you were younger of like whatever it is the impressions that were made on you because of the way you were loved or cared for in different ways. And it's just, it's all so intertwined. And yeah. I find it very interesting and I love it because I really do believe people are capable of change because yeah. I've experienced it.
Same,
and it is, and a lot of that fuel for change comes from that self-love, but that self-love is often so hard for all of us to kind of recognize and utilize because it's hard to see because we're living with ourselves every day. You know, you kind of get used to some of the things that you really should be taking a second to be pleased with about yourself. It's like you can't see your own hair grow, right? Like you see yourself every day.
People don't understand what it is to love yourself. Like yeah. to understand to whatever you want. And I think having kids for me changed a lot of that because I realized whatever I want to give them, like, why wouldn't I give that to myself?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't I appreciate those things? Well, why don't I, you know, if you want respect from people, you have to respect yourself. Those are actions, right? Like, those are real tangible things. And being, my sister said to me once, Linda, who I think is so smart, and she was like, when are you going to be your own keeper? Mm. You keep everybody else. You take care of mom. You take care of me. You take care of the kids. You take care of everybody who works for you, you take care. When are you going to be your own keeper? Mm. And I was just like, yeah. And these are all little pieces.
Really sweet.
I feel like the journey is like pieces, yeah. little puzzle pieces that you fit in little by little as you like sit there with the oat milk and go, it's me.
Yeah.
yeah.
This
yeah.
fucking thing that just happened, me. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you know, you mentioned the kids. I sort of realized also that like that act of the way that we love our kids, for me anyway, my experience is, that act of being loving to them allows, the reason it feels so good is because you're generating that and then you get it back. And it's when you close off and you don't act in a loving way, pushing, I find the more I push out, the more it comes back. And so like with my kids, that's why it feels so good because you're creating that as opposed to kind of rolling up the window on it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I don't know. No, I agree. And the kids are a great learner, but relationships are great. You know, kind of learning grounds as well, where you really sure. get to face yourself. And yeah. if you get lucky enough to be with somebody who actually really cares and loves about you in the right way, there's a lot you can learn from each other, even if things don't work out. Yeah. You know what yeah. I mean? But Jason, I'm sorry I cut you off. I was just like, had to get that thought out before
I No, I was kind of done. I was just saying it's a dumb metaphor or analogy, not being able to recognize your own hair growing because we see ourselves in the mirror every single day. But if you don't see somebody for a few weeks, you go, oh, your hair's gotten long.
Your hair's
you have a beard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, you can't really see the things inside of you that you probably yeah. should be.
You've got the greatest hair of all time.
I was trying to back into a compliment.
Yeah, I know. Jason's got the greatest
hair.
It's unbelievable.
No, but I mean,
you know what, Jennifer? You want to know something? He hasn't put a comb or a brush in it since he was 11. That's a true story.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And he doesn't color it.
And he doesn't color it.
Also true.
He's so handsome,
amazing. Guys.
You know, I mentioned it before, Jen. It's like you know the maybe I didn't mention it. I think I mentioned in the intro. Where you left home when you were really young and you slept in a dance studio or something as a girl.
I have done the craziest things.
I know, but don't
knows.
You look back at that with everything we're talking about now and giving yourself and loving yourself, looking at that and going, wow, I was sleeping on the floor of a studio on my own, not even living at home.
Yeah.
And look what I've done. Like, it's kind of, it's just mind blowing.
It's crazy because my mom and dad, like, I was about to start college, or I had just done a semester of college, and I was just like, I had a dream that I'm going to be in show business. And they were like, we lived in the Bronx. they were like, this crazy bitch. And I was just like, no, Dad. And my mom was like, you're not dropping out of college. You are crazy. You know how much we do to, so you can go to college. And my dad was like, did you have a dream? Mm. really? I said, Daddy, I did. I really did. Da, da, da. Anyway, the next few months was tumultuous, and I wound up leaving the house, and I kept skipping. I stopped going to class at college, and I was going to the dance studio and literally taking class all day. I just
to so be a lawyer.
Fallen in love with it. I wanted to be a lawyer. I worked in a law office for a few years during high school, and I was like really good with numbers and taxes and things like that. And I don't know. I just could feel I was just good at it, and they loved me. And I just was on this track to be a lawyer. And I was going to apply to law school, whatever. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild to know that.
Yeah. It didn't happen, and I decided to, like, go sleep on the dance floor. I needed somewhere to go when me and my mom had a big falling out. Mm. And I called the dance teacher, and I said, you know, can I come stay? I'll sleep on the couch at the dance studio. And he said, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Wow. He liked me, but yeah.
Do you still have a talent for numbers and bookkeeping and that types of thing? Like, are you involved with your, or do you just kind of just let, you just?
No, I'm smart about it, but and I've always been very attuned with my biz managers, like not to let my money get away from me.
But you're not like playing the markets and like, you know, looking on the stock pages and like.
I do some investing.
Yeah.
Because like some people I know, they really like, they handicap companies kind of like horses and they really follow that stuff.
Yeah,
they really get interested
in
that.
No, I don't. But I left that behind and probably can, you know, do multiplication now. My kids' math is too hard for me when I try to help them. But
you know what I just read the other day?
This should be good.
The Giving Tree?
A page of a book?
They don't teach cursive anymore in school.
No.
I haven't done for the last few years.
I know. Why is that?
Well, I guess because typing is such a big part
I know,
of,
but like but
we
some
don't
point,
write anymore.
Right,
but you
like
gotta sign
last,
your name and stuff.
Exactly. Like what
they
is a signature?
They teach them their name in kindergarten, I think, and that's it.
And that's it. We're done. Next
how's
chapter.
How's everybody's handwriting? Self-assessment on your handwriting.
Oh,
go.
It's terrible because you don't get to practice it, but I know how.
Jason Bad, Sean.
My brain works faster than my hand, so I can't, you know.
Right.
I also, when I have to write a birthday card, I'm like, this is horrendous.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Like, I have to cross shit out. It's crazy.
Do you do all caps? Do you do all caps?
I do like a hybrid. It's terrible.
Yeah, me too. It's a hybrid.
Yeah.
What's happened
to us? I'll start every sentence in cursive and then end up going, just for legibility alone. I want people to understand what the hell I'm writing.
It's so true.
Okay, so this is like, I'm going to just, because we're almost at
speed round.
Speed round.
So we're going to do like a little tiny something speed round.
Sean's been trying to introduce to the podcast last couple of weeks.
To your music career, which is just massive. And I know every other song that you've ever recorded. And I just think it's incredible.
Thank you. You know, it's pretty insane. I just had a number one dance record a few weeks ago. Yes. I had a new record out called Save Me Tonight. And I went and I performed it at Coachella.
Ooh.
And after that, like, went to number one.
That's amazing. It is amazing.
Had you done Coachella before?
Never. It was my first time at Coachella.
Was it a freaky big experience, or was it?
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's big, and I'd never been. I didn't know what it was like or whatever. But you have all these people, and I hadn't done a dance record in a long time. And David Guetta had this record, and I was going out on tour last summer to do like a little limited tour overseas. And I was like, I need some new songs. Like, I'm tired of performing the same old songs. And so I did like five.
We're not, by the way, we're not tired of this song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I still do them.
Yeah.
I still do them. I did like five new records, four or five new records. And I put them in the show just for that. And this one kind of popped off. And so we released it couple months ago or something. So,
and what about videos? People still make videos, right?
They do, but it's not the same. Yeah, I don't really even feel like I need to sometimes.
Do you have to pay for them?
I do. Yeah, because it's different. Like when I started, they'd spend millions of dollars on videos, like $1 million, $2 million were big budget videos. You know, Michael Jackson, Janet used to do like $7 million videos, you know? But now, because of streaming and how the record business has changed since I started, it's like a whole different world. You have to shoot them on your iPhone yourself, $100,000. sometimes they give you 75. It's wow. It's really a different thing.
And that's to promote the album that you have
probably through social media too.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not even your album. It's the label's album. And the way the music industry runs nowadays, correct me, most of the income for the artist comes from touring. As opposed to album sales. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of touring, you toured forever. You did obviously massive, massive shows your whole life. You know, I love horrible theater stories. You might not know this, but give me something that happened on a tour that just went horribly wrong that's funny.
Well, I don't know if you saw this. It wasn't.
Oh yes, I know what you're
going
to say. I know what you're going to say.
The thing on my neck. Did you see it?
No, I saw. No, I thought you were going to say when you fell.
No, that happened, but that wasn't on tour. That was on television.
Oh, that's right.
And it ran on CNN for the next 3 days. Oh, yeah. While my fucking coccyx was fucking on fire.
Right.
And it was just like, it was awful. But no, I was going to say this summer on tour, I
wrote three jokes. Sorry. I'm not doing
coccyx.
Any of them.
Coccyx.
There's a coccyx on fire and we need to take pills for it and all that stuff. Never mind.
Yeah. Yes. This summer when I was on tour, I don't remember where I was. Which actual date it was, but I was there and I might have been in Spain because I was singing a Spanish song. And it was like the slow moment in the show, you know? Like usually I'm dancing around and doing the choreography and like a fucking bikini and a G-string and whatnot, yeah. Right?
All right.
I'm whipping my hair around and it's a good time. Yeah. And
same.
Yeah. And so I'm standing there fully dressed and I have this thing on. It's like outfit on and I'm singing and it's really quiet. It's just a spotlight on me. And I don't know, like all during the show, I was seeing like little bugs and things around, but we're outside.
Oh,
so
this
I'm just,
I did see this.
They're attracted to the light.
Yeah.
And so everything is dark except for me. And I'm singing. And as I'm singing, the audience starts screaming. And usually they do react in this moment because I stop. And it's a slow song, and they usually clap and whatever before I do the little last line. I do like a dramatic pause.
Right.
But this time they're like clapping a lot and screaming. And I was like, what's happening? And I'm just there, and this huge bug is just crawling up my neck. And I feel it. And I thought it was hitting me and going away and hitting me and going away. But when you see the thing, it starts like down here, and it just goes.
Yeah.
And it lands up right here. And I just feel it a little bit, but I just stayed really still and I finished the song, the last line, and then I just go, and I kind of and it flies into the light like that. And I saw it and I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
It was like a fucking helicopter.
It looked like
a helicopter. It was crazy.
I love that.
But that was crazy. But it was kind of horrible. Like if I would have known it was that, I probably would have been screaming and yelling and
three final little things. What's the most Bronx thing about you that's never left, no matter where life is taking you?
I can't stop cursing. I try.
Okay, great. I love that.
I have potty mouth. It's terrible.
And then I love it. And then, by the way, you know this, Jen, already, but I'm saying to Jason and Will, did you guys know that Google Images is because of Jennifer Lopez?
What do you mean?
That Google didn't have Google Images until that green Versace dress. And then everybody Googled it. So then Google's like, we don't have anywhere for people to see images.
A search engine.
So they invented Google Images because of Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Sergey has, that he's been asked that after that. And he's like, yes, that is absolutely true. Jennifer, when she walked the red carpet in that dress, everybody wanted to have a picture of it. And we didn't have any Google search picks, anything.
Sue them. Sue them. Sue them. They're so rich. Sue them.
I was like, don't I deserve some money for that?
Yeah, for sure. We got some good lawyers.
Then we
got
to plug this because I can't wait to see it. Office Romance comes out June 5th on Netflix.
It does.
Yes, you, Brett Goldstein. He wrote it with you in mind.
Yes,
right?
he did. Super funny,
Brett Goldstein.
He's funny, but I love his brand. His brand of like writing where it's like, really kind of hard jokes, but with this wholesomeness at the end of the day. I think you guys will like this one.
Okay, good. I can't wait to see it.
It's made for guys and girls, not just the romantic comedy for like girls.
And then this is really cool. Edward James Olmos, who was your dad in Selena, is your dad in this movie.
He is. And I got to tell you, when we when we filmed with him and he walks in on this like board meeting, and it's the first time you see him. And when he walks in, like all the cast and all the extras that were in the board meeting were like, you know, kind of like he has such a commanding presence. But even more than that, when we screened it for the first time and he walks in and his first line is "hot damn." With that really deep voice, and people just started clapping in the theater. And I think part because he was my dad and Selena, of course, but also because it's just like, it's Edward James almost, you know? Yeah. And it was great. It was great to get to work with him again. He's amazing.
And speaking of musicals, I love Kiss of the Spider-Woman. I can't believe it was your first movie musical ever. You need to do more.
I know.
And
I
second
know.
Of all, are you? I read somewhere you're going to do Bye Bye Birdie, but that was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Do you remember when they were doing like these musicals on TV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Carrie Underwood did one.
Are you asking if Sean remembers?
Yeah. I did Hairspray Live with Ariana Grande and everything.
That's right. That's right. So when they did those, they were talking about doing Bye Bye Birdie, but then it kind of went away.
Well, make it happen again.
I don't know. We'll see.
You'd be great, Rosie.
I would be a great Rosie. Trust me, I practiced all the songs.
Well, they could change it to Everything is J-Lo.
Yeah, they could.
All right. Well, honey, thank you so much for being
here. You guys are great. Thank you so much.
It was very cool of you to do this, Jennifer. Yeah. Thank you so much.
No, not at all. Ever since you did it that one day and I walked into the podcast, I was like, I've got to do that one day.
That's right.
I'm sure you're off to go do something. What are you doing in New York?
Again. I was doing the upfronts. Right now I'm editing. I'm working on an edit for I just did a residency in Vegas and I did a new show, a brand new show, the J-Lo show, which you would love because what I did was combine my hits with musical theater inspirations of mine. I know it sounds like it wouldn't work, but it worked.
You filmed
amazing.
It?
Wait, but it's a residency
so
where you
we
just
filmed it for Paramount Plus and for CBS, and so I'm editing. We're editing that now. We're putting
I can't
it
wait
together.
To see that.
Yeah, we
I
filmed
can't wait
it.
To see that.
Yeah, that's gonna
very
be
cool.
Good.
Yeah,
yes.
No
busy as ever. Busy
you know,
as
just
ever.
Just doing my thing.
Keep going.
Singing, dancing, showgirl.
It's really so impressive, Jennifer.
Yeah.
It really is. Keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
thank
amazing.
You guys are
it's amazing.
So kind. Thank you.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
I'll see you
bye,
soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, honey.
That's a big
Sean,
star.
That's a real big star. Massive.
Come on.
Talented
I mean, when
star.
I was reading about her, it's just you go, oh yeah, oh wait, yeah, oh wait.
I'll tell you, that
she's not a star. That's a mega star.
That's a mega star.
That documentary is pretty stunning. I mean, it takes you all the way through it. Everything that she's done.
Who does all of everything?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also so incredibly well earned. It's not because there's some sort of celebrity manipulation or something. She does everything and does it at such a high level, and people are, you know, paying for it and they're supporting it and they're coming. Like she's just
and she has this sort of, as I was saying, like this sort of this coolness and this calmness and this like knows who she is clearly, right? And is like so comfortable. And again, I was kind of getting at that thing of like we all think that we know,
right?
And who people are. I remember watching. Remember that Tiger Woods documentary came out a few years ago. And it started, and I remember turning it off because I was thinking like, I don't think he wants me to know all this stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Oh right, yeah.
I just turned it off.
Tiger Woods wants you to know all that stuff.
But just anything about people when any people just talking shit. Like we don't know anything until we hear from them what their experience is. We don't really know.
And she just seems so purposefully aware of her beginnings, of her roots, and is constantly staying in touch with the people that she surrounds herself with.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why she's so on it.
Shani, I mean, that was a great get.
Oh,
great
I'm so
get.
Happy.
And there's no way you would be lazy to work in the Bye Bye Birdie thing at the end there of your questioning.
He hadn't even thought about it until you mentioned it.
I think you've used Bye Bye Birdie before.
Many times.
So
yeah, I would never use it again.
We'll just wait. We'll wait for something a little bit better.
Yeah, I know
if
that
you need a Google search or something.
Yeah, if there's something that needs to come up, you know what I mean, that you
Well, the Bye Bye Birdie thing is real because she... she was no, going to do you, it.
No, we know yeah, it's real, yeah, but like yeah. Okay. Maybe if there was something
that
was...
You can't set yourself up like that.
No, yeah. You know what I mean? There's got to be something.
Type away.
Okay. Typing and just trying to think.
Well, you guys know from her album, This Is Me.
Sure. That, really? Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, wait, it's my favorite. What are you,
you mean her 2002 record, This Is Me?
Yeah. Then? Well, This Is Me then, yeah. And yeah. You guys know...
This Is Me Now?
Yeah, yeah, this 24. Is me now. Yeah, this is me now.
You have a favorite song from that?
Yeah,
album
it's
or
yeah, it's so good. It's called Never. It's called Never Good.
Bye.
Oh, you sneaky son of a!
Bye, Birdie.
Oh, you're so bad.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry.
Smartless.